Third and eight. Flip it out. Caught. Another broken tackle. And all the way into the end zone goes Connor.
And look at Duck. Duck is flying down there for one gigantic hug and probably requesting the football.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Oh, yes, it was a magical night for Black and Gold faithful in Carson, California. A wonderful time, I hope, had by all out there. I saw some nice powder blue jerseys in the mix there. And shout out to my pals over there with the Los Angeles Chargers. I got to take my 10-year-old boy, Jean-Claude Van Dameshek, to his first ever pro football game. Now, I don't know, like, you know, we debated it with Matt Money Smith on a number of occasions, the voice of the Chargers, in advance of this trip. And he said, why hasn't he been to a pro football game? And I said, I thought it was the right thing to make it a Steelers game first. And we went to other sporting events along the way. But we made this game the first ever game, and the Chargers were nice enough to give him the VIP treatment. They let him get down on the field in the pregame, and it's something that he clearly treasured in the ensuing hours, at least. I suspect he will continue to. So thanks to them for allowing that to happen. And man, it was really history. Here's the thing about the Chargers. Oh, seated to my immediate left as we jump into our week six review, and perhaps we'll look ahead to week seven and beyond. It's one of our main men here at NFL Media. You watch him on Total Access and Fantasy Live and everything else. Chicago's own Cole Wright.
That's right. A man who's also never been to a football game as a spectator.
No way.
In the last 35 years.
Really?
Have not.
You went out to Soldier Field, though, right?
As a kid,
out there?
Like one game. And I think I was maybe more than 35 years. I mean, I was a mere child.
I would have guessed you were about 38 years old.
I'm 41.
41.
Yeah, but I haven't been to, I mean, I was less than five. So, yeah, over 35 years.
I can't do the math that quickly in my head. So, what were you there for, the glory days, the mid-80s with Ditka? And
I think it was like 83, 84. I went to a Bears game my parents took me. I don't even remember.
You might have seen some time. Steve Fuller, not Jim McMahon, injury prone. And Steelers fans were treated to, I don't know if you, treated is the right word, but they got to pay witness to a third string free agent quarterback, Duck Hodges, getting an NFL win in his first ever NFL start. It's positively a movement in 2019 NFL that you do not need a superstar quarterback. Forget about that even. Yeah, I mean, listen.
Samford University.
Samford for this kid. Kyle Allen down there for the Carolina Panthers. Backups winning games all over the place at a rate perhaps even higher than the guys for whom they've taken over. It's led to questions about if Superman himself might have to take the pine even if he is 100% healthy. things are weird, and a recurring theme on this show is the AFC, and now we were just talking about it as you sat down. I know we've gone on and on about this a little bit, Cole, on the show, but, I mean, who's getting the two wild cards in the AFC? I mean, the Bills probably should be 5-1 after week seven. But even if we assume that, who is going to get the Colts or the Texans, whoever loses out there? Maybe. Mm. Are the Raiders really going to hang in?
I was going to really say the Raiders. And maybe I'm biased because, you know, we see David Carr and, you know, I'm always tweeting back and forth with Darren Carr, and it just seems as if the Raiders are always, you know, at the forefront, at least for me. I've been on some Raiders podcasts, but I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying I believe 100% in this Raiders team, but looking at the division and seeing what's been happening with Kansas City lately, they're not the exact same team they were a season ago. Are they still good? Absolutely. But are they beatable? We've seen it. The blueprint is out.
The thing that is obvious that they must do, unless they just want to continue to trick themselves, and maybe on some level,
the Raiders or the Chiefs.
I'm sorry, the Chiefs. Okay. I'm talking about the Chiefs.
Okay.
It seems to me, and that's what we've been pointing to for the last 3 weeks or so. Yes, they are mighty. Yes, they can blow up whatever defensive plans, whatever philosophy you have to defeat them over the course of 60 minutes with Patrick Mahomes making a couple of those superhuman throws. And suddenly, right? I mean, if you look back to the Raiders game, that was week two, I think. The Raiders jumped them. They were up early in that game and you thought, are the Raiders really going to do this? Mm-hmm. They're going to win this game. And then Patrick Mahomes hit a couple of throws real fast, and all of a sudden we were laughing. How silly are we that we thought the Raiders might handle this game?
But they're in games. The games that they've lost, they were in games. And that's all you can ask for, because if you're in a game, that means you have a chance to win, because we've seen teams that get blown out a lot.
I like to see there because obviously, you know, we love David Carr and Darren and the Carr family. So it's fun to see that, as to see Derek doing well. I don't know if they're going to be hanging in. The Chiefs are the team that most people circled as being in the AFC title game, not preseason. I mean, 3 weeks into the year, it was all but certain that it was going to be the Patriots and the Chiefs. The only thing needed to be settled that's out there was where that game was going to be played. But now, legitimately, they don't do a good job of running consistently. They can't stop the run consistently. Mm-hmm. They can be had, against a team that can throw the ball, as you saw with Houston. I just don't know. And by the way, they're not playing mediocre to poor teams with these rallies in the postseason.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing good teams. And is Patrick Mahomes going to be able to overcome the myriad weaknesses of these Chiefs three times over? He might get to the Super Bowl, but could anybody rationally say, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes will cover up everything for 180 playoff minutes against good teams? Then again, I guess I can go back to what I was just saying at the top of the show, is anybody really that good in the AFC? Perhaps not. Maybe that's the elixir that'll fix the Chiefs, is that nobody else is that good. But what they need to do is, in the meantime, Tyreek Hill is a luxury item that they don't have to have to score. Obviously, he just came back on Sunday. They were putting up points before his return. They need to swap him for a defensive piece.
You think so?
And now. They better do it soon.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you don't think he makes that team that much better on offense, despite the outcome from Sunday, what we saw against Houston? You don't think so?
No, not after watching the Colts game 2 weeks ago. Oh. Not after watching the game on Sunday and Carlos Hyde running all over them all day long. That's just, you're setting yourselves up to be, as I said on Sunday, this is shaping up to be, and that's not saying Patrick Mahomes is doomed for the rest of his career.
He's got to get that ankle better, though.
I know.
He's got to get that ankle better. That's paramount.
But in the age of free agency, things can change by 2020. They can even change now with all the trades. But as constituted right now, this is shaping up to be years 2 and 3, 84 and 85, Dan Marino. Mm. All world talent, can't be stopped, but so what? Because come playoff time, the other team's just going to run it at you and relegate all the high-end superhuman feats moot.
I mean, I guess it just depends on what perspective you're looking at it from. If you're Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you want to win, but to be viewed as, you know, the second generation or second wave of Dan Marino, not too bad at the end of the day.
I mean,
Dan Marino's been Isotoner ads.
You think the fans in Arrowhead?
Ace Ventura. I mean, he's had a pretty good life.
All right, listen. Yeah, listen, if you're Mahomes' publicist, then that's great.
Absolutely. But you want to win games at the end of the day, and Patrick Mahomes, he's a winner. We know that. I mean,
you're making some nice baby backs in the parking lot before the game. You don't care about how many endorsements he gets, much as I imagine Browns fans right now aren't that excited about seeing their hero bake in all those commercials.
Ooh. Hey, I'm sure they like to see
games.
Him less. Yeah, every time you know, right after a Browns loss, when one of those Baker Mayfield commercials pops on, I'm sure that's the last thing that they want to see there.
I did mention delicious food and barbecue specifically. That reminds me that, as always, we are presented by our pals at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some wherever you are. If you're lucky enough to have them nearby or even 500 miles away, it's worth the trip.
Do you have enough pull to have them have a location out here in Los Angeles?
I would like to think so. Let's put that to the test. I'd like that. Eddie Spaghetti, make some phone calls. I'd also, at minimum, I'd love for them to, you know, end of the world, for them to take, 10 minutes, make a nice little care package, send it over to Studio 66.
Freeze dry.
We'll eat it.
Sure.
You know?
Why not?
Cole Wright will be here for that one.
Absolutely.
Cole Wright, it was a tough day for Los Angeles football. The Rams. What do we think about the reigning NFC champion LA Rams? We can talk about the Chargers and we'll talk about the rest of it, but the Rams are at least among the headlines right now. I told you, if you've been listening to the DDFP, the Niners would win the division. The Rams would miss the playoffs. I'm looking right so far about that. Not to say the Rams are doomed. Their schedule's about to get much easier, but suddenly that upcoming game in 3 weeks in Pittsburgh doesn't look like the gimme it was a fortnight ago. Everything's out the window with Todd Gurley's health.
Man,
I'll say you.
I mean, it looks like a rough patch for the Rams. And you know, I thought they were going to be good this year, not as good as they were a season ago, and that's coming to fruition right there. And we've seen it. You said you picked San Francisco to win the division?
That's right.
Okay. Now, I mean, they're first place in the division, but I mean, I still have to say I'm going to roll it with the Seattle Seahawks. But nevertheless, as the season goes along, I just think that what we've seen with Jared Goff is questionable. And I just don't know if the Rams are going to be able to sustain, you know, a winning culture with Jared Goff performing the way he's gone out there and performed. And no disrespect to Jared Goff, but you know, we talked about it the other day in the newsroom, you know, headed in, you know, to week six, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff. Who would you rather have? And, you know, people started scratching their heads a little bit. And I said, well, I know if I was in a back alley and I turned around and I saw some Dave Damashek type cats coming at me, some mean looking dudes. Mm-hmm. And I turned around and I saw Jimmy.
I think you were waiting for
Jimmy
some
Garoppolo.
Laugh, but there's no laugh coming.
Hold
there.
Hold on a second.
I'm scary. If I put the look on
if,
you,
I mean, if four Dave Damasheks were coming at me in a back alley, I wouldn't feel great.
I'm a paunch-bellied, pleasant fella, but if I put the look at you.
But if you turned around and you see Jimmy Garoppolo and you're like, you ready? He tells me he's ready. I feel good about that. If I turn around and there's some unsavory cats coming at me and I turn around and say, hey, Jared Goff, you got my back? And he says, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if I necessarily believe. Maybe he's truthful about it. But I don't know if I.
Again, I know I keep saying the same things about the results that 6 weeks into the season that we're getting here. And another one, even in their week off, the Colts are a reminder of, and then Jacoby Brissett is essentially the backup. You know,
He's
obviously 2 weeks before he was Andrew Luck's backup QB. The story in San Francisco, undefeated and all that kind of stuff, handsome devil, big trade a couple of years ago, made a lot of headlines. He doesn't lose very often in the NFL, but he's hardly the story.
He's a Chicago guy, though. So that's, I mean, we know how those guys roll.
Yeah, well, that's right. Winners, you know, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He was, I went over to his high school. Do you know where he went to high school in Chicago?
Arlington Heights, didn't he?
Yeah. I went, I paid a visit to his high school before his first big start. A couple of years ago, beloved. And they knew back then that he was a handsome devil, too.
Really?
Yeah. Unlike most people, when like models or big time actors,
he didn't
like,
have to grow
always
into
like,
it.
Yeah. They're always like, oh, no, I was the awkward kid. No, they're like, oh, yeah, Jimmy was always a handsome devil. Yeah.
He could.
But he's hardly the story for why these Niners are winning games. It's that defense and it's the Kyle Shanahan's run game. And it, from the Rams' perspective, you had to know they didn't have Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
You're going against a very good defense. You do not need to score 40 points in order to win this game based on the way the Niners are playing games this year. And Jared Goff laid an egg at home. And I really do wonder if Sean McVay and Les Snead and whoever else is saying, did we definitely do the right thing, given that amount of loot to this kid?
I mean, that's what are the kids calling it? Getting the bag, securing the bag. I mean, that's exactly what he did. But, I mean, good for him for getting all that money. But the numbers need to correspond with those paycheck numbers, you know, immediately, if not soon. And I don't know if Sean McVay's sitting around or if Les Snead's sitting around scratching their head about that deal. But I know a lot of Rams fans could be sitting around because, I mean, what do you throw for 78 yards, if I'm not mistaken?
Something like
under 80 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
you don't have to set the world
on
fire.
That's not great.
There are a couple ways to do. You can go like Deshaun Watson, or you can go like Patrick Mahomes and just cover up whatever else ails you.
Sure.
And make superhuman plays. But short of doing that, you don't have to come out there and win games all by yourself. But that Rams team doesn't, the defense isn't especially good. You can't hang that one on
them. Just be Case Keenum. Can we do that? I feel like Case Keenum is a guy, and no disrespect to Case Keenum, but he's a cat that can go out there and he's not really ever going to win you a game. He's not going to lose you a game. And if that gets him the label of game manager, then so be it. Because chances are, if you're labeled as a game manager, what are you doing? You're winning games. Your team is winning games. Nothing wrong with being a game manager.
In the 21st century, there is precious little evidence that you can win a Super Bowl with a game manager. Flacco overcame. I don't know that he would properly be a game manager.
Brad Johnson.
he'd be a league Trent median Dilfer. Low at Flacco, but he caught fire for one month, which was weird. Flacco. Brad Johnson was fine, a little bit better than history regards him now, a decade and a half later. He was not an abject bum. He was good for that Buccaneers team, but still, I get your point.
Yep.
And Nick Foles was fine, and he was the hero and will be forever in Philadelphia. But the fact is that he was only good in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. In that playoff run, he was not anything special, nor was he really for most of last year's postseason and December run. So I'm on the fence, though, now that the defense, as they always say, our old pal Warren Sapp said this to me forever ago, and it really is true. Defensive coordinators will adjust, and no matter what you think, well, that's it for defense in the NFL. Those days are bygone now. It's all about the offense. Defenses will rise back up, and so they have. And with few exceptions, the teams that are succeeding right now are the ones with the good defenses and the ability to run the ball, and it has less to do, surprising to me, than who has the best QBs. Usually that's pretty easy math. Oh, who has the best handful of core? Yeah, well, then those are the teams that are winning all the games this year, right?
Well,
not in 2019 so far.
Well, like you and I talked about it. I mean, I went and covered the San Francisco 49ers during training camp, you know, for radio, and I was there for 2 days. You know, Tim Ryan and I, you know, former San Francisco 49er, we sat there and we sat down with John Lynch, with Kyle Shanahan.
Is he a nice guy, Tim Ryan?
Absolutely.
Is
super,
he?
Super cool guy. Super cool guy. And to be able to sit down with those guys, I felt like they were selling me a bill of goods. I didn't know if it was a false bill of goods or whatever it was. And then I heard other guys say, well, when you go to a camp, you're going to be, you know, hit over the head with, you know, this is our year. This is our year. And hope springs eternal at every single camp. But I really feel that as I walked away from that, I'm like, this team could be good. Like, not superstar good, but it would be a complete group effort, a collaborative effort. And that's what we've seen. I mean, the defense is solid and their offense has so many moving parts. It's hard to really put your thumb on one.
Well, if the Monday night game preceding against the Browns didn't signal to the football America that the Niners were for real, then this one should, because they didn't have either of their tackles. And it made no difference against the Rams defense.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, they only put up 20 points and they, you know, got short field and all that kind of stuff to start the second half. That's kind of what
it helps.
Gave them the margin that they just kind of had to hold on to. But, yeah, man. And by the way, I want to say, shout out to Cole Wright. You're a true pro because your Dodgers went out a little early.
Wow.
They had to, why I think about that is I don't do that to rub it in your face. I do it because when I say Baker Mayfield.
Just to rub it in my daughter's face. The 7-year-old number one fan of the Los Angeles Dodgers who was crushed by that Howie Kendrick
just
grand slam.
Just because you're employed by the Dodgers does not obligate you to root for the Dodgers.
I mean, it's
you're
hard not
Chicago
to.
Chicago, and you're a Cubs guy.
That's true, but it's hard not to. Like Ned Colletti told me, it's hard to separate the teams that you grew up rooting for versus the teams that you work for are entrenched with. Like when you go into a clubhouse and you talk to these guys and you watch them play, you want to see them succeed.
I know. Cole Wright is very subtly, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, very subtly making a run at most name drops in one episode.
Whoa.
EFP 2019. A lot of names, you know. But anyhow, what it makes me think about when I think of Baker Mayfield is it looks like he's the latest victim getting sposted. You know, I always talk about the curse of Spoelstra. The pressure of, there were a lot of
not to be confused with Eric Spoelstra.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, not Eric Spoelstra.
All right, just making sure.
No. Yeah, no. Yeah. This one has a
fine, fine coach, possible, though, by the way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Listen, won championships.
Hey.
So he overcame Spoelstra. Oh, that's a good
How about
point.
That?
They got
Spoelstra had a
but those
pace of the Spoelstras.
Those Heat teams did get Spoelstra'd a little
they
bit.
They did.
They were supposed to win more than they ultimately
did. They lose to
did.
The Mavericks. They got
right.
Spoelstra'd.
They did get Spoelstra'd. That's nice. I never put two and two together. Baker Mayfield, there were a lot of comps running up to this game about what he had in common with Devlin Hodges or vice versa. Devlin Hodges, the kid from Samford, undersized, and so some scouts kind of slept on him and everything else, and people said, kind of, don't they have similarities in their games and the moxie, and they're a little bit outspoken and all that? Yeah, the big difference is Baker Mayfield was the first overall draft pick, and the entire football city, downtrodden for decades, Cleveland, pinned all their hopes on five. Hey, you can fix this, right, Bake? Yeah. That's a lot of pressure on that kid. Conversely, Duck Hodges had zero pressure on him to do anything, and as a result, is now being hailed on the banks of the Three Rivers, much like, or he's not like that. Now back to the guy who's supposed to do it, Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, wow.
I mean, for real. What do you think about that, though? For real. So something, a language that you speak, baseball pitcher, superstar, guy in the conversation, statistically at least, mm-hmm. it's not hyperbole, best pitcher in that sport. In the history, 140, whatever baseball's existed for, major leagues. What is it now? So
I think the two best pitchers?
I'm just saying, no, my point being, he's in the running.
In the conversation, sure.
Well, now he's not.
You cannot
rightly call him the greatest starting pitcher. Well, that's a silly.
I mean, I would take Roger Clemens 8 days a week. No disrespect to Clayton Kershaw.
Based on the numbers, you wouldn't.
I'm not a numbers guy.
Okay. That's my point.
If we're going by any numbers, I'm going to go with 7 Cy Youngs.
I'm telling you, Clayton Kershaw, right?
I mean, would you go with a guy that has 7 Cy Youngs or a guy that has 3?
Clayton Kershaw only has 3 Cy's?
Yeah, that's a ton. But Roger Clemens has 7.
I know, but still weird for the guy who's been the best pitcher in the National League for a decade. Since Randy Johnson went away, there's not a consistent close second to Clayton Kershaw. I'm surprised he only has that few Cy's. But anyway, Spaghetti, you get my point, right? Spaghetti understands because he roots for a team named the New York Yankees, who's perennially supposed to win the World Series.
Come on. You guys are,
what do you mean you don't want to talk about it?
It's an even series. Why are you hanging your head?
You
got to think like a winner.
Why
Spaghetti?
Are you so upset?
Think
Spaghetti?
Like a winner.
Had such a nice sports weekend. No. The Notre Dame won. Well,
that was not great. They should have killed USC at home at nighttime. The green out. They won the game, but it wasn't.
This is the guy dissatisfied with wins. Nothing's ever good enough.
No, I'm with Spaghetti. Well, because again, see, this is the phenomenon of Sposta. It's unsatisfying. See, this is the pressure of being a team that is supposed to do stuff. It's not enough if you're a Notre Dame fan at home against a mediocre to lousy SC team. They should have rolled that team.
Notre Dame
and so you're upset. This is what happens when that's a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly.
Yeah. With the Yankees, when you have, well, Verlander is supposed to kill the Yankees because that's what he's done his whole career, and they had a chance to, they had him on the ropes, and the Yankees didn't take advantage, and now it's a.
But you were technically supposed to lose that game. I mean, you're going against Verlander.
And we didn't. We did lose, but we had a chance to beat him. And
back to square one, even series, going back home.
That's fair.
And to think like a winner.
To Spaghetti. Answer the Clayton Kershaw thing, he also pitched at a time where there's like Max Scherzer 1-2, and then DeGrom has one,
Arrieta,
and the random R.A. Dickey year. Because Kershaw won all his after like that Roy Halladay, Tim Lincecum, like PV kind of phase.
I know. Well, listen, okay, so you reel off some of the era's best there, and okay, those
Spaghetti's a Yankees fan. I mean, not to derail everything towards the diamond sport, but how about Aroldis Chapman? Throwing triple digits now for close to 15 years.
Can I tell you something?
Come on now.
When Spaghetti said, hey, 1-1, going back home, that's how little postseason baseball I've watched. I didn't even know where those games were being played.
I was in Houston.
You represent a minor league team, though, so.
Doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't care. Go ahead.
If they were winners, though,
you have an excuse. Yesterday, you were out of the.
I don't care,
Carson.
I see. That's funny. Cole tried to get me there, and it hurt me not a lick.
If they were winning, though, you'd be shouting from the mountain.
No, because I am faithful to my hometown.
Well,
I'm faithful to my hometown. I'm not going to support a team that's willfully not trying to do well. That their ownership stinks. I'm not blindly supportive of whatever is happening. If we're getting a raw deal on the banks of the Three Rivers, you're not going to hear me vote for that. But anyway,
okay,
that's not who we're talking about. They're the have-nots.
Not what we're here for.
By the way, when the Pirates did do well for those couple of years, that is the difference. When you're not supposed to do anything, the year that they win a playoff game, a one-game playoff, and that was enough. If they could have just gotten over the hump and won a World Series like the Royals did a few years ago, that's enough to keep you warm for the next 50 years.
Andrew McCutchen, good thing they let him go.
I'm not like you're trying to get me, and you're not getting me at all. I don't care about it. Laugh all you want. Now. Had Phil Rivers pulled off the rally on Sunday night, which really was starting to feel like he was about to do it, then you could hurt my feelings because I'm sad when the Steelers do poorly.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know. As badly as the Browns are doing right now. And as much as they are emerging as the story, this disappointment, there's plenty of time in this mediocre AFC to get right back in. There's no reason to think if you're a Browns guy that they can't win that division. Still, especially with the win head-to-head against the Ravens, which brings me back all the way around to the Rams. They're now essentially, barring some big injuries, they have no chance of winning the NFC West at this point.
No chance?
Very little.
So I mean, say San Francisco and Seattle, I mean, completely hit the stumble.
That's when you're in trouble. You know that from baseball standings. It's better to be 5 games back and in second place than it is to be 3 games back but have 3 teams in front of you. Yeah. At this point, the Rams not only have to turn it around and reel off a number of wins, they also have to catch up to 2 teams. I'm not saying they can't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're still in decent shape to do that, but winning the division, highly unlikely. They have lost 2 games now in the division. That's they must win at minimum. They would have to beat the Seahawks in LA, mm-hmm. and then they're going to have to go up to San Francisco and win that game. And that feels unlikely at this point, where, you know, the Niners are 5-0 now. They're a third of the way through the season. Unless they kind of crumble here and the Seahawks crumble, the Rams' best shot, the team that a lot of people said, oh, they'll go right back to the Super Bowl. Fear not. They're in jeopardy and not making the postseason at all here.
You think they're getting some passionate Sean McVay speeches in the locker room there? Well, guys, I tell you, you know, we got to do this. We got to do that. You know, we got to keep things moving. And, you know, it's my fault. You know, I got to just go back here and look and assess. And
look at that. Teach, you got Andy Reid, you got Bill Belichick, you got Doug Peterson. Look, there are a lot of good head coaches in pro football, but Sean McVay's building something pretty special in Hollywood.
It's a good one.
Back on the blitz. I can't get that quite right, but my hand motions are what really make it.
It's that you have to interrupt yourself.
It's the self-interruption.
Look, teach.
And if you really want to make it sing, inject some outdated rock and roll lyrics into it.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Bachman Turner Overdrive, get some of that in there.
Like
BTO, teach.
Hey, right now, no Todd Gurley. This Los Angeles Rams team is running on empty. Back on the blitz. That's the kind of stuff he does.
He drops Randy Newman.
I like him. Yeah, I thought Randy Newman.
Well, no, I'm just saying. He's known to drop a Randy Newman reference.
It's a little Jackson for you. Spaghetti, you made an interesting comment, too, Cole Wright made this comment, I should say. Hard right turn. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Fantastic.
You feel is in the running for the greatest sitcom of all time?
Yeah, I really do.
All time. I mean, obviously, you didn't see everyone, but of the shows you've seen, better than Cheers, Simpsons, Larry Sanders.
Well, considering that I wouldn't
30 Rock.
Any of those in the top five.
Oh,
we've already gone over that.
I was thinking it was like Seinfeld and he hasn't named yet.
I mean, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm a big fan of Martin. Like, that's a fantastic show.
I was just about to say, I forgot who I was talking to. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered, yes, you once did volunteer Martin on the...
What?
Martin it was very funny for a couple of years. Then it lost its way.
The last season and a half.
Season
and a half when Martin had like a goatee.
It was a little questionable. It was very funny for its first couple of years.
Well, Martin and Gina were doing split screens. Like, hey, Gina got a job in L.A. Like, no, they didn't.
I know.
Yeah, just didn't want to work together.
I remember. It was funny.
But it was it's fantastic.
It is not. Yeah, it is not.
That's the incorrect.
Up on the stand for one of the top.
But It's Always Sunny is fantastic. The most recent episode.
14 season or 15 season?
Season 14.
It's been 14 now. Yeah. It's like not just the longevity things. A lot of shows have been around for a while.
But it's always
fall off. It legitimately is very laugh out loud funny.
Getting funnier.
Yeah.
Because the most recent episode is the funniest episode I think I've ever seen.
Did you see the focus group episode about
Thunder Gun?
Thunder Gun, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just are so good about just taking stuff that goes on in like today's world and then just put their own kind of like sarcastic, ironic type of spin on it. And like they're geniuses. Like they've gotten like smarter as the years have gone on.
It's fantastic. It's a great show.
Let's ask a couple because Spaghetti takes the time to etch out this rundown.
For All right.
us, so we may as well address some of the questions that he's posed for us here. Good ones. Who do you trust the most out of the Chiefs, Rams, Cowboys, and Chargers?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Tell me which ones go to the playoffs out of that quartet.
The Chiefs and the Cowboys.
So the Chargers are done?
I've never been a believer in the Chargers.
They're 2-4.
It doesn't matter. The Chargers. You know, I've always said, and last year they proved me wrong, but in other years I've said all they are is the West Coast version of the Dolphins.
The one thing that
they get
money,
your hopes up, and then they do nothing.
Voice of the year. Chargers.
Sorry about that, Money.
Money but. Points this out all the time, and it's absolutely right. The couple of moments in Sunday night's game that stand out from a Chargers point of view that were positive, Hunter Henry doing what he did, coming back out there and looking great, and maybe is the difference in them making a push. I mean, it really does come back to if Mike Williams is healthy, which is not often enough, plus yeah. Keenan Allen, plus Melvin Gordon. Now, they can't protect Phil Rivers very well. And then if you throw Hunter Henry into that mix, that offense should be lights out. It hasn't been so far. Tip of the hat
case
to John Merriman there. Yeah,
case they're supposed to be good.
Exactly. But the one thing Phil Rivers still does at his advanced age, and if you watch this, the old book is that young guys have to get used to pressure. The fact is, the more pro football guys I've talked to over the years is, as you get into your mid-30s and get near 40 or past 40, you start to feel your mortality. You feel it physically, but then you have children and you want to be there for them and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want to get too beaten up and everything else, and those things start to become a factor. Phil Rivers, as well as anybody I've seen, man, that guy will hold onto the ball until the guy is a half inch from his face before he gets rid of it.
I got a question for you.
But he also throws some terrible balls up there that are 50-50 balls, and too often this season they're landing in the wrong hands.
Is Phil Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
How so?
I mean, he's going to retire as one of the, statistically in terms of passing yards and touchdowns, he's going to retire in the top five all time. Hasn't been, the knock on him is beyond not having ever been to a Super Bowl.
Not really. Well, how many winning seasons has he had? Not really a winner.
Huh? That was a long snap of the Chargers not making it to the postseason.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great. I mean.
It's an interesting question. I say he's got to go to the Hall, and the timing of it will be important there, because so Peyton's going to come up here, so he'll go. If Phil can, let's say he retires this year, if he's ahead of the curve, but when Brady and those guys, because in trouble if the gold jacket is the quest, which I don't necessarily think it is for Phil, but if he's desperate to get a gold jacket, he would do well to hang it up sooner rather than later, because if he finds himself being compared in voting years with Roethlisberger goes before him. The Eli Phil one, if those two were to retire in the same year, that would be fascinating to see how that would break.
I mean, I put Eli in first.
Would you?
Absolutely.
I think I would ultimately put Phil by a win. If I had one vote and there were only two quarterbacks.
Eli was a winner and had numbers, and Phil had numbers but was not a winner. I mean, then it's
Eli,
like.
But
is
Eli
the Hall of Very which, Good?
Eli wasn't
the Hall of
the
Very
same,
Good, or is he a compiler?
Eli wasn't the same winner that Phil was, I don't think.
Is he a compiler, though?
What do you mean the same winner?
He won Super Bowls. I'm saying if you look at winning percentage.
Phil had LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, but that literally goes against your like Clayton Kershaw argument you just made a couple minutes ago. Because like Clayton Kershaw is as good as it comes stat wise, which you could argue like him and Phil Rivers are the same. But then the one big but is that he has.
Well, by the way, though, I'm giving both of them votes.
No, it's fine. But I think that I don't want to besmirch people's names who've gotten the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class. But it's like when you look back, and I agree, I think that Phil Rivers should be in it. When you look back, Rivers should be in it. Eli should be in it for what they have accomplished. When you look back at the whole NFL, this is the NFL 100 season, looking at all the great moments. Like, if you don't have Eli in for winning two Super Bowls in the fashions that he did, you're just doing a disservice to fans and the league overall.
Well, as far as that goes,
you're going a little too far with that.
I don't know. I think
a disservice to the fans and the league overall. Says the Giants fan. Let's take it easy on that. I mean, I don't think there's fans that are going to be in Utah.
Wait a second.
Oh my goodness! I can't believe they didn't put Eli Manning in. For the sake of the league, spaghetti, fans I know. Everywhere.
Spaghetti, you have to pull that clip, and I want to play it for money on Wednesday, because he'll be delighted by that one.
With my tweets from the game yesterday, too, money's going to have a day on
Wednesday. Oh, man. But that's rich.
Like, Morton Anderson, imagine a world where Morton Anderson, a kicker, is in, and Eli Manning, after beating vanquishing the Patriots twice, is not a, like, to me, it's...
Well, that's... And also that's not for, a fair standard, though. There's Morton Anderson is perhaps
scored more points than anybody.
He's one of the top three kickers in the history of pro football. I mean, is Eli? He's not.
I can go grab this offensive lineman who have made it recently. It's like, are they like guards, like centers that people's.
That's not a fair way to do it.
I just feel like you're gonna put those guys in. You're not gonna put a guy that has all the stats, has two rings. Like, I mean, in the same for Rivers.
And he doesn't have all the stats.
His stats are good,
but I mean,
he's gonna end up top 7 to 10 in a lot of categories.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you think, by the way, as we approach the off season here, we're now 10 mere games for the majority of NFL teams from the great abyss here. I think there's going to be a ton of QB movement this offseason. Derek Carr, the irony there is that Derek's name was among the, if not the number one, most likely to be somewhere else come 2020, based on the way things were shaping up and the move to Vegas
Gruden
and all
lives
that
next
stuff.
Door to him.
I know, but if they stunk coming out of the gate, and when Antonio Brown did what he did, the way he ghosted on the team, I thought Derek was in real trouble there. So I'm happy for him on a human level that he's reeled it off and looked good. He's a major reason why, as I say, every quarterback is not the main reason their team is winning games. I would say that Derek Carr's right up there is the reason the Raiders have won three games so far here. But so he may not move, but... Daryl, I mean, if Cam Newton, if this Kyle Allen thing's for real, Cam could move on. Do you think Eli's going to move on? Nick Foles, are they definitely going to bring him back to Jacksonville next year if this Minshew thing continues to go? There are a lot of examples. And now Teddy B, are they going to retain him? Are they going to try to keep that luxury item going?
I think they would do him a solid. And Teddy B, you know, you come in and you play for us like Brock Osweiler did when Peyton was hurt. And if you can lead us to the promised land, if then Drew can step right back in and lead us to the promised land, I think we'll say, okay, we're good here. Thanks so much for that. Thanks for being the highest paid backup in the National Football League. Thanks for not going to that dumpster
He's
fire
old
down
now.
There
Breeze
in Miami.
Breeze is old enough that they probably want to have the – they want to have the successor to Breeze in house.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to say that Teddy Breeze.
I'm just trying to run through. Like, wait, if the Cowboys go finish up 8-8, Dak may not be back there. I could see them saying, you know what, good thing we waited here. We don't need that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I thought he was looking like he was, you know, well on his way to getting paid, but you know, after starting out 3-0 and then
Chicago.
Losing the last three,
does Eli play?
I was thinking Cam Newton on the Bears wouldn't be terrible if Cam Newton's healed. And I don't know what
Kirk Cousins has turned it around for now, but I don't know how long they want to stay on the Kirk Cousins train if this team doesn't make it to the postseason again this year.
I don't think Eli will play next year.
You think Eli retires after this?
I think he's done.
What's he getting? $31 million? I
got news for you. If Spaghetti is right about that, he goes to the Hall of Fame then. Because he'll be ahead, to my point. The thing that has buried Hines Ward is being in an era where there are guys who have better numbers than him who are having to wait. So Hines keeps getting kicked down the road a little bit. But by the measure of Hines Ward and coming up big in big spots, I've also come around on the candidacy of Julian Edelman. Spaghetti's point. It does matter. I know that the numbers over 16 regular season games year after year aren't necessarily there. He's probably a top 10 wide receiver in 1 to 2 of his career seasons. However, talk about trying to tell the story of pro football without a guy. I mean, Julian Edelman.
Yeah, he's fantastic, but I don't know if necessarily he's a Hall of Famer. Like, until my boy Reggie Wayne's in, then Julian Edelman has no business being even in the neighborhood.
There's no question.
He shouldn't even be in the state. He should be in New Hampshire Reggie Wayne gets in.
We park our cars in the same garage. It's a matter of time before Reggie Wayne goes
Absolutely.
In. Maybe even this year. Maybe
I'm going to be the one that gives his induction speech.
Is that true? He's already promised you that?
Probably not, but
if Derek goes,
maybe I might get a shout
David
out.
David Carr, when he sat here a week ago with us, went on and Derek loves Cole. Gave him a shout out.
I mean, I'm
you're
a
nice guy,
right? I mean,
you're all right. Yeah, no, you're very nice.
Venom in my direction?
I'm not. Why? What's so weird? I'm not spitting anything in your direction.
No, have you ever hear anyone spit like that? Cole Wright, I tell you.
Ooh,
I hate to be around him. I would hope
spaghetti.
Not. I hope that would.
You ever heard
be
bad about Cole?
Chases me down.
Anybody?
No.
Nobody?
No.
You've never heard anybody who we work with say Cole's like,
I know. I'm known as a hater in these streets.
Cole's
but
on the magic recipe. I think he's liked across the board.
Really?
I swear. Oh, to you.
What about me?
Magic recipe.
Have you heard bad about me, Cole?
Never.
You've never heard bad about
never.
Me?
Never. Never.
Don't lie to me.
I swear to that's
you've never heard truth. Like, you know.
No. Never.
Could stand to lose 20. You never heard anybody say something like that?
Never. Never.
No?
No.
How did he deal with that voice? Who decided it was a good idea to let him talk? You know, like that kind of a thing.
No, the only thing that's ever been, I've questioned when you come in and dry the underarms of your shirt sometimes with the blow dryer in the makeup room.
It's nice. That's a good solution.
Oh, man.
But I still love you.
As someone who retweets pictures of people that have their feet on airplanes.
That's fantastic, though.
He takes the.
That's fantastic.
Oh, man. That's,
why? What's bad about that? That's not affecting anybody else. Let's keep it.
But you know what, though? One day when I was in the makeup chair, which was where I'm about to head here in a second, I had it got really hot underneath that apron.
Yeah.
And I had a sweat line on my shirt. So what
you
did
don't
I
need
do?
That.
I went and grabbed the hair dryer, just like old Dave Damashek.
Let me tell you something, Spaghetti. Once I was in the makeup room all by myself drying because I was about to go on something, and I had a little dew, in the pit. So I
blowing up.
And who pokes his head into the room? None other than Hall of Fame tight end Tony Gonzalez. And he looks at me and goes, "What the hell did I just walk into?" And turned and walked away.
I thought he was going to say, "Hey, good idea," or something like that. Yeah. He was like, "What?
I don't care."
Wow.
I wasn't born with the handsome punim or the chiseled physique of Tony Gonzalez. I'm a working man.
We should wrap it up with the food block.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
before we get out of here.
Oh, I got to go. I have to go to makeup here real quick.
Okay, we're going
to
go.
Fantasy Live, a show that everyone should tune into, 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 o'clock Eastern.
Before you go, it's time for the food block presented by Bon & Viv Spike Seltzer, Eddie Spaghetti, Dealer's Choice.
What do you want to talk about? By the way.
I like to say, when I don't have a good food-based subject to do, I turn to Spaghetti and throw it in his direction.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What do you think L.A. does better? It gets knocked for not doing either of these well. Pizza or burgers?
Oh.
Wait, burgers. They're like the best burger city.
Burger city in America.
Yeah.
You can trip over a delicious burger around every corner.
I was setting you both up to succeed. Why do you?
The pizza's not great, though.
The pizza's
not great.
Pizza's come around. But the pizza's gotten better.
I feel like it wouldn't.
Chicago, can I tell you something? Chicago, don't give me a look already. I'm going to look away. Chicago is not a great pizza city. Don't say that.
It's not a great pizza city. It's the
not
best
a great,
pizza city.
No,
that's why.
It's not a good. Chicago's also not a great Chinese food city.
I don't think LA is a good Chinese food city.
Mm.
Oh, that's not true.
I haven't found
good
it
Thai
yet.
Food. Good Thai food.
Great though. Thai food.
Yeah,
and a lot of good food.
Besides sushi,
I went to the Formosa the other night.
Oh, the new look Formosa.
I guess that's what I heard.
They jazzed
heard
it up.
Been,
yeah,
it's been redone over the last decade or so.
I've heard it's great. No, in the last couple of years,
is that what it is? I've never been.
It's
my first.
It's
my first time. And
any famous movies there? Spaghetti, have you been there?
No,
you're
no.
A fan of L.A. lore.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, you'd eat that up. L.A. Confidential.
We sat in Bugsy Siegel's booth, and there's a safe in the floor. It's right when you walk in to the right. We had two front booths.
I think most people outside of L.A. would be surprised to hear that. L.A. is known for its great burgers.
It's unbelievable.
I think people just assume it's all sushi and health food.
Like one of my buddies is clowning me for eating turkey burgers, and I'm like, well, if you ate as many burgers a week as I did, you'd eat turkey burgers as well, too.
I have one downstairs, yeah.
Black bean burgers over turkey burgers,
come on.
We leave it there.
It's time to go on that one.
I was going
to
say,
are we done here?
Quickly with the Chicago pizza, there's a place in Echo Park or like Silver Lake called, I think it's Masa, M-A-S-A.
I've heard of this.
And I went there once, and I went with my roommate and my girlfriend, and it was like outstanding. It's
really?
Not a New York slice, but I would give it a 9. I've never had a lot of deep dish, but the few I've had, it was like a 9.8 out of 10.
This cat's talking about black.
Everybody
black
in Chicago,
over a turkey patty.
You're from Chicago. You should know. It's Chicago. The deep dish pizza is a tourist
splendid.
Novelty. People don't
wrong.
Eat that.
That's wrong.
You eat it all the time when you're in Chicago?
Absolutely.
You're one of the very few Chicagoans I've ever met who's like, oh yeah, that.
One of the probably the
every
true,
three
true Chicagoans.
So.
I'm so shy that you thought it was bashful.
And yet you keep yourself in shape. That's because you do that insane
The C24W workout. Have you done it, Spaghetti?
No, I just do my...
Dee Carr said he hasn't done it either.
My hour in the morning.
All right, that's it.
This could be a text for me.
Great job, Cole Wright. A pleasure to see you. Don't be such a stranger to Studio 66 all the time. We'll see you on Fantasy Live and Total Access and beyond. It's the great Cole Wright, one of the best in the business.
Thank you, brother. Likewise.
We appreciate him joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Eddie Spaghetti. Make sure you get that clip for Money's Review next. It's gonna be America. Yeah. America.
For
shut down
humanity.
Shut down society. Eli didn't go to the hall.